Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts?
Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 25. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne, and ho, ho, motherfucking ho. We are so close to Christmas. It is, what's the date today? The 13th of December today. Happy birthday to my eldest sister, Laura. Many happy returns. I'm sorry I'm not in England celebrating with you. It was the plan, actually, to be in England celebrating with my sister for her birthday today. I was going to fly to the UK and I decided at the last minute not to go, and there's a really good reason for it, and it's kind of something that I want to talk about in today's episode. So as you know, I accept all questions about mindset, manifestation, emotional resilience, spirituality that we can unpack and discuss on this podcast. If you have one, all you need to do is DM me through Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife, or email me and my team, info@emilychadbourne.com. And someone sent me a DM through Instagram saying, hey, Em, could you do an episode of Unashamedly Human around dealing with family at Christmas time? So I put a little shout out through Instagram just asking for people to send me what their stresses and worries and fears are around having so much family time over the Christmas period, because full disclosure, guys, I love my family. I think they're friggin' awesome. I've got two fantastic sisters, Laura and Jenny, who I love beyond love. My dad, Roger, what a legend. Really sadly, my mum died a couple of years ago, but while she was earthside and in her incarnation as Margaret Chadbourne, she was an absolute legend. And I feel very blessed, very privileged to have had such a wonderful, safe upbringing. But that doesn't mean I don't get triggered by my family. That doesn't mean whenever I go back to the UK, I find myself, you know, rolling my eyes or feeling like, oh God, I hate it when that person does this. Or, oh, they're making me feel like this. Or, oh, you know, here I am trying to be a grown up and here I am in my childhood home and feeling like an infant again. And like all those triggers come up, man. That's just like, it's called being human. Yeah. Hashtag unashamedly human, people. That's what we're all doing here today. So I do get the family trigger, but I really like my family. Which probably brings me back around to like, well, if you like your family so much, Emily, like, why are you not going back to England? And I'll be really straight up and honest, because that's how I am. I don't have the energy to do it. And this brings me to the first thing that I want to talk about in today's episode, like, how do you manage your family at the festive time when you are, for some bizarre reason, expected to spend intense and sometimes long periods of time with your family members? And when I put the shout out over Instagram saying, you know, tell me what your worries and your fears and your doubts are about spending time with your family, so many people responded, and the overwhelming language around I have to, I must, I should, it's my duty to spend this time with these people. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Like, I love my family and I'm choosing not to go back to the UK because I don't have the energy at the moment to do that. I don't have the energy to keep my vibration high. I don't have the energy to get on a plane and travel for 30 hours and sleep on a click-click bed or on a blow-up mattress on the floor or in a spare bedroom. I don't have the energy to live out of a suitcase. I don't have the energy not to be in my own space. And that's not because I'm selfish. It's not because I don't love my family. It's because I just don't have the energy. I've had a really big year. Especially this last quarter has been massive. I've done loads of traveling. I've got loads of personal stuff going on because life, well done. And so I just made the decision that actually it would be lovely in some respects to spend Christmas with my family, but to spend 2 weeks in the UK in that intense environment, I don't have the energy for that. And it's not because I don't love my family. I just don't have the energy for it. And so this is the first thing that I'm just going to put down right here, right now, which is, do you have to spend the amount of time that you're planning to spend with your family? Like, by whose law? Who said you have to spend Christmas with your Uncle Terry or your Auntie Sandra? No one said that that's a thing. There's no law that says that that is a thing. And, you know, what expectation are you allowing to be put on you, but also what expectation are you putting on yourself? And I understand that, you know, there are some people who, without their daughters visiting them or without their sons and daughter-in-laws bringing the grandkids to them, maybe they'll spend Christmas alone, and you don't want that for your mother-in-law, you don't want that for Auntie Susan. Cool, awesome, I get it. Do you have to spend do you have to spend 2 weeks with them? Do you have to spend a whole weekend with them? Can you not book into an Airbnb down the road? Are there not family friends that maybe you could stay with for a couple of nights? Could you break it up in some way, shape or form? Could you plan a day out here and there, especially if you're in Australia? Jesus, it's summer, okay, admittedly, in Melbourne right now it's still 5 degrees or something ridiculous. Come on, summer. But, you know, you can plan days out and about. You don't need to spend every hour of every day in the company of some people who are blood related to you out of a sense of duty when it is not going to serve you or your family and their highest intentions. So that is the first thing that I just want to suggest. Do you need to spend this much time or this intense period of time with family? Can you do something different this year? Or if you are choosing to spend this amount of time with them, then, you know, plan some stuff. Like, don't just sit at home looking at the television or expect to talk to each other, especially if you're from sort of different lives or you have different interests and different values, which is very common in most families that I know, especially the families where there are friction, there is a values mismatch going on. So, you know, ask yourself, number one, do I actually need to spend time with Sandra and Terry this year? And number two, if I feel obliged, then that is my choice, right? My choice to feel obliged, my choice to go to Terry and Sandra's on Christmas Day. Do we need to sit around staring at each other, trying to make polite conversation, or can we plan some stuff to do with our time so that the focus isn't on our differences or the TV or the children or insert here? And like I said, guys, you know, I love my family and I'm still choosing not to spend my time with them this Christmas. Not because I don't love them. It's just because I have to put my health and my energy and myself first. I have to do that in order for me to be able to show up for other people. So, you know, I'm launching a brand new course in a couple of weeks. I've got work coming out my ass, which is awesome. I'm about to start a book writing challenge in 2 weeks time, so I'm getting stuff ready for that. Like, I just don't have the energy, and that's not that I don't have the love, I just don't have the energy. And I was very clear and very kind about how I communicated that with my family, and they understand that. And if they didn't understand that, I still wouldn't get back on a plane and go to England, because I have to be the most important, I don't have children, granted, but I have to be the most important person in my life. I have to make sure that I'm looked after. I have to make sure that I'm taken care of, because if I'm not, then I cannot show up for anybody else ever. So first thing, time. Now, before I move on to the other five things that I want to give you today in order to better help you manage the family dynamic at Christmas time, I'm just going to read out some of the comments that have come in through Instagram. Hey, great podcast topic. I find it most triggering when I don't get asked about my life and my family just talk about themselves. I check out when the conversations are not ones that are mutually beneficial, or I feel like my family don't want to understand the better version of me that I am becoming. An example of that is I am becoming more spiritual, more reflective, I'm spending more money on personal development, etc. Other things that have come in, hyperactivity, which kind of made me smile a little bit. My parents still treat me like a child and not as an equal grown-up. Victimhood or the negativity that my family present with. Passive-aggressive comments. and boomer ideals. So boomer ideals, I'm assuming, is about like old paradigms. So, you know, you should go to school and get an education and then get a job and stay in that job for a really long time and buy a house and then retire and then you die. That is the way that the world should go. And if everyone follows that train, then you will be happy. So it's about, you know, actually a generational gap in the way that we think and what we expect will bring us happiness. So those are some of the things that have come in. And like I said, I'm just going to run over another five. Sorry if you can hear loads of traffic. It's really, really noisy today for some reason. I'm just going to run through another 5 points that I think will help you. So if you're resonating with it, any of those comments that have come in, keep your ears engaged. Okay, so I want to talk about when you feel like you have changed, but your family haven't. So specifically, I check out when the conversations are not ones that are mutually beneficial, or I feel like my family don't want to understand the better version of me that I am becoming. And I think the thing to remember here is when we decide to break away from the lineage of our family, lineage of our family. Oh God, I don't know. I'm saying the word over and over in my head now and it has become nonsensical, you know, when that happens. Anyway, when we choose to break the hereditary generational patterns that get handed down from generation to generation to generation, victimhood mentality, emotional trauma, mental trauma, financial trauma, addiction trauma, these things that get passed down from generation to generation to generation. And there are some brave souls. If you're listening, you're probably one of them, or you're on your way to becoming one of them. There are some brave souls out there who decide that the best way for them to love their family is to break that cycle and instead take full responsibility and control of their emotional resilience, their mental health, and their spiritual connection. And they have decided that that is the best way to love their family. The way to love their family is not to continue the same trauma, to have the same conversation, to cement the same beliefs, to live in the same paradigms, to reinforce the same fear. They have decided so bravely and so courageously that it stops with them, that the next generation is going to live in hope. The next generation is going to live from love. The next generation is going to be free from addiction. The next generation is going to be free from the hereditary trauma that is being passed down and down and down and down. And that is the best way that you can love your family. Loving your family isn't about going, oh, I'm going to come back down to the standard then. I'm going to learn all this stuff about how I can do more and be more and have more, but actually when it comes to Christmas time, I'm gonna make myself small again. I'm gonna go back to the fucking negative talk again. I'm gonna sink back into victimhood again. I'm going to come back to make my family feel safe in their own trauma. And when you have to do that, I fucking see you, I hear you, I feel you, I get you. When you have to do that, fuck man, it's really tough. Because what you really want to do is you want to go back to who your family want you to be so that they feel safe. And it takes courage and strength to stand in your vibrational frequency and to be in alignment with a version of you that you are learning to be, that you want to be, that you can see yourself being, that the future generations are going to benefit from you being. It takes fucking strength to stand there and say, hey, this is how I'm rocking up now. And I think the thing to remember, and again, I'm just going to quote this comment that came in. I check out when the conversations are not ones that are mutually beneficial, or I feel like my family don't want to understand the better version of me that I am becoming, is that you are choosing that they are not. You are choosing to do the work, and I commend you for it, but they are not. And there has to be a sense of love and compassion to the family members who are not doing the work, who want to stay in their fear because it feels safe, who want to stay in the addiction because it feels safe, who don't want to break the pattern because they don't know they're even in a pattern, who don't want to do more, who don't want to aspire to more, don't want to think differently. You cannot berate them for that, or belittle them for that, or pity them for that, or think any less of them for that. You just have to accept it. And the moment that you accept it, it won't grate on you that they are not seeing the world through your eyes, because they can't. But no one can see the world through your eyes, and you can't see the world through anybody else's. And if you were your parents, if you were your Aunt Sandra, if you were your Uncle Terry, if you were your Cousin Julie, oh, there we are. Where is Cousin Julie from? Cousin Julie, maybe it was Borat or something like that. Ali G, Cousin Julie. Anyway, a little bit of a tangent there. If you were any other person in the world, you would be looking at the world the way that they are. So I understand the frustration that you can feel sometimes when you're like, oh my God, why are we still talking about what the neighbor did last week? Or why are you still like in this negative pattern of behavior? But actually, that's just all they know. And just because you've changed doesn't mean the world has changed with you. You have changed, and you've got these massive perception shifts, and you're doing the work, and it's fucking awesome. But you can't expect other people to be on board with that. You can only love someone where they're at. You cannot love them from where you want them to be, because there's a gap there, and you can't love that gap. You'll just feel frustrated by that gap. So you have to, you don't necessarily have to condone their behavior. You don't need to start agreeing with them again. You don't need to take 15 steps back to fit in with them again, and to fit in with their views, and to agree with them when you don't agree with them. Like, you don't have to do any of that. You stay in your vibrational frequency. You stay in your truth. You stay in your power. How do you do that? I suggest you meditate a lot. You journal. You get really fucking clear on who it is you want to be. You visualize, how do you want to be? Not how do you want other people to be. You can't control what your mum does. You can't control Uncle Terry. And no one can control Aunt Sandra. So there's no point even trying. You can only control you. Visualize, connect. Who do I want to be? When it gets tough, when I get frustrated, how do I want to feel? How do I want to react? How can I meditate on this? How can I connect to myself, to my higher being? Not how can I change the people around me, because you can't. You can only lead by demonstration. And this brings me on to the third thing, which is know the difference between love and fear, and when someone is coming from love and when someone is coming from fear, because all emotions are coming from one of those two places. All behaviors are a result of the emotion that is coming from one of those two places. So somebody is either acting, thinking, speaking, behaving through love or through fear. So especially when it comes to the comments about, like, you know, passive aggressive comments from my family, or the victimhood and the negativity that my family present with, you know, when you hear those negative comments, when you hear the drama, when you hear the passive aggressiveness, you have to ask yourself, is that person coming from love or is that person coming from fear? And I'm telling you now, victimhood, negativity, passive aggressive comments, that is a fear-based human speaking to you. And for that, you can only give love and compassion, because fear is learnt. It really is. No one comes into the world from the energy of fear. We come into this incarnation through the energy of love, and fear is taught, abandonment is taught, pain is taught. These are the things that we fear as human beings, this disconnect that then happens over time, that means that we feel like we can only rely on ourselves. It means we need to dominate the conversation. It means that we need to feel significant. It means that we need to be right. It means that we feel that we need to be in control of other people and other things all of the time. And this comes across as a victimhood, or as a negativity, or as an addiction to drama, or as an addiction to all sorts of things, alcohol, substances, passive aggressive behavior. These are people who are in pain. They might not know it consciously, because they are so conditioned to just being this way, because they themselves have learned it from their parents, from their parents, from their parents, from their parents. This is again what we call generational trauma. You get to be in charge of healing that trauma. That's how you love your family. You don't love your family by agreeing with your mom just to keep the peace. You just don't. You don't have to argue with your mum to prove a point, because that's useless as well. But you know, really think when somebody is presenting themselves to you, and I do this with my dad all the time, who I absolutely adore, and he doesn't listen to this podcast, I'm 99.9999999999 reoccurring till the day I die percent sure that my father will never listen to an Unashamedly Human podcast, mainly because he still listens to cassette tapes. So I feel kind of free to say this, like, when my dad triggers me, when my dad annoys me, when I hear stuff that comes out of his mouth that I fundamentally disagree with, when he is a bit snappy, or when he gets riled up because he's not in control of the people and the situations around him, I have a choice. In that moment, I have a choice. I can react to the trigger that is going off in me, or I can choose to see through the lens of love, ask myself, what is it about me that I need to listen to in that trigger, in that visceral reaction sometimes, like, oh, fuck's sake, like, what is that saying about me? And the next thing then I need to do is I need to say, is my father, the man in front of me right now, is he coming from a place of love or fear? And if he's coming from a place of fear, which any negative, I'm using my fingers to do air quotes, negative reaction or emotional behavior or thought or spoken word is, then for that, my love and compassion. And that just, it immediately brings me back to a place of love. I don't need to agree with my father.
According to Wikipedia, spoken word is a poetic performance art that is word-based.
There we are. Thanks, Google. Just in case you missed that, spoken word is a poetic performance art that is word-based. I don't quite know how Google engaged, but she did, and I'm grateful. Moving swiftly on. So yeah, ask yourself, is this person coming from love or fear? And if they're coming from fear, I get to come back at that with love, because love will always win. Love will always win over fear. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with my dad. It doesn't mean you have to agree with, you know, Uncle Terry. But it means that you can come back from a place of love and not reflect back that fear. Or if you feel that trigger, then ask yourself, what is your own fear here? What is going off in me? What do I need to hear in my own trigger that is being ignited right now? So that is number three. Number four, the de-godification of parents and adults. And I think this is really relates to this idea of, like, the boomer ideas, the boomer ideals comment that came in. Like, you know, the thing that really annoys me about my family at Christmas time is that they have these boomer ideals, and that they think that their opinion is right. They think that their paradigm is right. So a paradigm is a collection of thoughts, feelings, experiences, memories, beliefs, that make up the reality that we create for ourselves and that we exist in. And we can shift paradigms. It's deep, deep, deep work, but you can shift the paradigm. And I think one of the things to remember about paradigms is this: if you were born into Uncle Terry's life, if you'd had Uncle Terry's childhood, if you had Uncle Terry's friends, if you had his experiences, if you had his schooling, if you had his religion, if you had his social conditioning, if you watched every program Uncle Terry had ever watched, if you heard every conversation Uncle Terry had ever heard, if you felt every emotion that Uncle Terry had ever had, you too would think like Uncle Terry. Crazy, I know, but it's the truth. And so when we are around people, even though they're family, and so we feel like we should like them, but we don't necessarily agree with them. We don't believe that, you know, I should get a good job, whatever that means, or get a good education, whatever that means. You know, I'm a 38-year-old woman who's chosen not to have children. And so a lot of conversations I have are about defending that and or about explaining myself to other people. And I, for many years, would feel like, well, you're an adult, so you know better. And there comes a point in your life where you realize that it's not about knowing better, it's just about knowing what works for you, and that is okay. And I'm allowed to have a different paradigm to my sister, to my father, to my auntie, to my cousins. It doesn't make either of us right or wrong. It just means that we are different, and that is okay. Now, it might be an issue for your dad or or your sister or your auntie or your cousin that you and they think differently, but that's their problem and not yours. Like, the reality of the situation is, it took me until I was about 36, 37 to realize that maybe, just maybe, as long as I was happy, then my reality was absolutely fine. The way I think is absolutely fine, as long as I'm happy in the reality that I've created for myself. If I'm not, different story. But for so many years, I just assumed that other people knew better than me. I didn't have the trust in myself to believe or to back myself or to hear my own truth or to speak my own voice. Like, I just assumed that if you were an adult, you were probably right. It took me a really long time to go through the de-godification process of other people and to put myself as my own spiritual advisor, to put myself as the person in charge of my life, to put myself as the person who is responsible for every decision that I do and do not make. So when other people have different ideals or have different standards or have different boundaries or have different values or have different opinions on how the world should or should not be, that's cool, man. These are mine and I'm okay with them. And because I'm okay with them, I don't have to justify them. Now, when people ask me why I don't have children, I say, because I don't want to have children, I'd prefer to have shoes. And it's like a bit funny and it's a bit cute. But I used to, for a really long time, list all of the reasons. And it was like I needed somebody else's approval that this is how I'm choosing to live my life. I needed my dad's approval that I wasn't drawing a salary. I needed my sister's approval that I didn't have my first home. I needed my auntie's approval that I wasn't going to have children. I don't need anyone's approval. The only person that needs to approve me is me. And as long as I approve me, I will attract the people. They're not necessarily related to me by blood, but I will attract the people who make up my tribe, who make me feel safe in my decisions. They challenge me so that I continue to break my paradigm, so that I can continue to impact more people, that I can continue to attract more abundance, that I can continue to live in more peace, and so that I can continue to feel more connected. But ultimately, I'm the only person that needs to approve me. So it doesn't matter if you're surrounding yourself with people who think that Donald Trump should be president, or who agree that Brexit should have been a thing, or who think that you should have two houses and four children by the time you're 35, or you're a failure at life. Fuck them. That's their paradigm. And if they're happy in it, rock on. You have to be the person that's responsible for your happiness and nobody else. So number five is that you decide how you are treated. Wah, wah, wah. So this one just popped into my head the moment that I read this particular comment, which is that my parents are still treating me like a child in a controlling way and not as an equal grown-up. And to that, and this is going to punch you in the face, but I'm doing it with love, I will say this: you cannot be treated in any other way than the way that you are willing to be tolerated. So if your parents are treating you like a child, it is because you are allowing them to do that and you are responding in a childlike strategy. If your parents are controlling you, it is because you are saying yes when they suggest something. It's because you are complying. It's because you are allowing them to be in control of you. Your parents are not doing that. You are allowing it. There is a massive difference. You are always, 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 my God, hear me when I say this, you are always showing other people how they can and cannot treat you. Get some fucking boundaries. Real fucking quick. And this is what I want to say about boundaries really quickly. I think people misunderstand boundaries. I think people think that boundaries are about saying no, and about disappointing people, and about pushing people away, and about having a wall between you and another person. They are not. Boundaries are about telling somebody what is acceptable and demonstrating to them how it is acceptable. So it goes like this: Mum, it is totally and utterly okay that you want the best for me, and I love that about you, and it's why I'm here with you on Christmas Day. I'm so grateful that you want the best for me. What's not okay is that you haven't spoken to me for the last hour because I've chosen not to take your advice on a topic which I don't need your advice on. That's not okay. It's okay that you care. It's okay that you want the best for me. what is not okay is the way that you are no longer speaking to me because I've chosen not to take your advice. And that is the only way that you are going to grow up in your parents' eyes. You have to do the growing up. Your parents are just treating you the way they've always treated you. They've got no conscious awareness of this. You are the one who has to turn around and go, actually, no, I'm a grown up and I get to decide how life works for me. So let me be really clear. Point number five is you decide how other people are going to treat you. You decide. Not them, you. And not just at Christmas, 365 days of every single motherfucking year. You show the universe and the people inside that universe how to treat you by the way that you treat yourself and the way that you assert your boundaries. Now, I want to talk a bit more about boundaries because this is number six, right? Boundaries. You cannot have love and compassion for anybody around you if you do not have steel boundaries. I'm going to say it again. It is impossible to have love and compassion for people around you if you do not have good boundaries. And I really want to hammer this home. Quite often at Christmas time, people overstep boundaries. And then how do we feel? We feel frustrated. We feel resentful. And again, boundary setting is about saying this is what is appropriate. Now, this is what's not appropriate because the way that we explain things is often through contrast. But ultimately, this is what is appropriate for me in my house. This might mean something like, hey, five-year-old cousin of mine, it's totally okay that you're really excited about Santa coming, but what's not okay is that you're jumping on my sofa. Get down. Because otherwise, you know what you're going to do? You are going to go into the kitchen with Auntie fucking Sandra and you are going to bitch about how that five-year-old boy is being brought up by cousin fucking Julie. And so you have to have boundaries of steel in order to have love and compassion for the people around you. Know what your boundaries are. Assert them with love and compassion, showing people around you, this is how it's okay to treat me. This is absolutely okay, and this is absolutely not. It's okay that you're excited. It's not okay that you jump on the sofa. It's okay that you care about me. It's not okay that you are angry at me because I'm not taking your advice. It's okay that you want to have a drink at Christmas time. It's not okay that you get so trash bagged that you start abusing people in this family. This is what is okay, and this is what is not okay. And when you the only way that you are going to do that is by knowing yourself what is okay and what is not okay. Because first and foremost, you have got to know you. And the more that you know you, the easier it is to show other people how to treat you. So those six things again, how do I deal with my family at Christmas? Number one, think about the amount of time that you're spending with them. Is it logical? Do you need to? Is there a way around it? Can you either decide, I'm not going to spend a week with Terry and Sandra? Can you decide to stay in an Airbnb? Can you stay in a hotel? Can you stay with some friends down the road? Can you break that time up with days out here and there? Can you put some activities in place so you're not just staring at each other? Number one, time. Number two, when you have decided that you are going to love your family by breaking the pattern of hereditary trauma, then you are going to have to understand that that is your choice and that not everybody else is on that same journey. You are breaking that pattern and it's courageous and I applaud you. But have love and compassion for the fact that that is your choice. Other people want to stay where they are and all we can do is love them from where they are. Number three, love versus fear. Is this person acting through love or through fear? And if they're acting through fear and I am being triggered by that, what is it saying about my fear? What is it saying about my strategy? What's it saying about my thoughts? What's it saying about me? And then we go back and we say, okay, well, if you are acting from a place of fear and not love, I give you my love and compassion. Number four, the de-godification of humans, especially grown-ups, right? It's okay that they have one paradigm and you have another paradigm. You don't need to defend or justify the choices that you are making in your life. but you need to acknowledge that the choices that somebody else is making in their life is the choice that they're making in their life. Their views, their values, their political stance, the way that they think the world should work, that is valid because it's their point of view. Your point of view is valid because it's your point of view. So just don't build resistance. Don't build the resistance to somebody else's opinion, because that's where the pain lies. Number five, you decide how you are treated, and you are showing people constantly how to treat you. And number six, know yourself well enough to have steel fucking boundaries so that you can have love and compassion to the people around you. And if you want to know more about loving yourself, please, please, please jump into That Crazy Thing Called Life. It's my free Facebook group. There is a short course available for you there. It's 2 weeks. It's $47. I could not make that cheaper if I tried. That is just like a little taster. It's going to give you the six foundations that you need in order to build any change on top of that. So self-worth, self-love, self-trust, manifesting different results for yourself. You need these six foundations in place. Every successful person that I know who's spiritually connected, who has emotional resilience, who has great mental health, who is in peak physical condition so that they can better love their lives, uses and implements these six foundational things every single day, myself included. If you want to go really deep and you really want to do some work, then join the Unashamedly Human Tribe. All of the details about that will also be over in That Crazy Thing Called Life, and you can email me info@emilychadbourne.com. Please share this podcast with people that you think might need to hear it. Use the hashtag #unashamedlyhuman. Please tag me on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. And thank you very much for watching.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up With M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.